Today is December 24th, 2014, and this is episode number 286 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, currently temping as Santa Claus's third ho. Huh.
Ho, ho.
Oh, no. Lowbrow City, here we come. Oh. It's our Christmas episode.
Merry Christmas.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess, you know, it's probably fitting, I guess. Let's just run with it. That we, you know, do a little bit of lowbrow humor today.
As opposed to other days, but yes, yes.
because today, Sony uncaved and apparently reached a deal with Google and Microsoft to distribute The Interview.
Yes, and I don't know if it's so much Sony uncaving as Sony finding companies that were willing to partner with it.
Well, you know, the first announcement. Okay, so we got to do the background, right?
Yes.
By the way, this is going to be a short show. Jeff lives in the mountains and is driving deeper into the mountains, and it's Christmas Eve day, and he's got to beat a snowstorm. So this is going to be a short show. We hope that everybody understands.
Right, and if not, the next time we see you, I will personally give you a hug.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. And if you play your cards right, I'll probably kiss you too.
That's right.
That's what he does. So, The Interview. Movie, Seth Rogen, James Franco. It's a ridiculous farce where they're supposed to go and interview Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea, and the CIA tasks them with assassinating him. Because, you know, it's a ridiculous farce. And so it's, you know, it's a comedy. It's a Seth Rogen film. There's going to be some butt jokes and fart jokes probably. And, you know, it's whatever. North Korea doesn't get humor, doesn't understand artistic expression. You know, this country has been isolated for decades. And a hacker group attached to the Korean government, the North Korean government, of course, hacked Sony, released a bunch of films that were unreleased, distributed a bunch of films that were unreleased, released a bunch of scripts, released a bunch of personal information from Sony employees, including, like, you know, bank accounts and passwords and things like that.
That was really nice of them.
Yeah, really is pretty spiffy. In an effort to extort Sony into not releasing this film, which North Korea, in its usual hyperbolic farce of a way, called an act of war by the U.S. government.
Yeah, because it's just our MO as the United States to use movie studios to conduct warfare for us.
Well, I mean, you say that as a joke, but certainly happened in World War II.
Yes.
Hollywood worked very closely with the U.S. government to produce propaganda films for, you know, to support the war effort during World War II.
That's true. And that does set a precedent for the government to continue doing that, or at least to make it plausible that some movies that are currently being made are part of a propaganda effort. However, that totally ruins my joke, so thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. That's how I roll sometimes.
Yeah.
Mostly pedantic.
Mostly.
Mostly. So, anyway, Sony caved at first. At first they did not cave, and they would not pull the film. They were actually heavily marketing it. Matter of fact, it probably got more marketing because of the controversy than it would have gotten otherwise. I mean, this is like a middling budget film, $45 million to make, which is a drop in the bucket these days. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the kind of film that, you know, they would have made $10, $20 million on if, you know, if they were lucky. But it was being heavily promoted, but then the same hacker group threatened, quote-unquote, 9/11 style attacks against theaters that show the film, which is, like, the most idiotic threat ever. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. Yeah,
the notion that people are going to be able to steal airplanes and fly them into movie theaters,
yes,
is pretty much preposterous.
It is. I mean, it's not. It's not even a joke. It doesn't even rise to the level of a joke. Yet, the major theater chains in the U.S. said that they canceled showing the film. It's like that. That's the huge act of cowardice. That's the huge act of cowardice. I cannot believe that.
And I found it to be very fascinating because we've had other major things happen and threats against studios and the people that have made movies where, I mean, there are very clear threats and the movies were still put into the theaters. We've had, do you remember the Christopher Nolan Batman movie? And there was the guy that went into the theater here in Colorado and opened fire.
Yeah.
And the theater refused to close. And everyone was like, no, we don't pull this movie and we don't let the criminals win. We don't let the terrorists win. And yet we get this weird threat. Okay, is there a possibility that the theaters are using this as an excuse to dump a movie that they were afraid was going to lose them money?
No.
All right. Well, then it's just totally lame.
Because at this point, at that point, everybody was going to be seeing this film.
Oh, sure.
And that's the thing. As a matter of fact, what I suspect on the big chain's part was that they weren't worried about an actual terrorist attack, a quote unquote 9/11 style attack, to actually happen. What they were worried is that there would be people that would stay home because of it. But again, that's just. It's ridiculous. That wasn't going to happen. No one took that seriously. Anyway.
No one was going to. Well, people were going to stay home, but it was going to be balanced out, actually probably work out even better, because there's a lot of people that hadn't planned on seeing the movie that at this point were going to line up and go.
Yeah, absolutely. But then that's when we get back to Sony, because there were all kinds of independent theaters that were clamoring to show it.
Yes.
And Sony said that they had no choice but to pull it. Right. And that was basically late last week.
Right. Now, since then, Alamo Drafthouse has landed a deal. They'll be showing it at several theaters.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, what was really, oh, God, is it, you know, was it UA, United Artists? Because a lot of those same independent films were going to show Team America, which made fun of Kim Jong-il, who is Kim Jong-un's father. And, you know, that was the, what are those guys' name? The guys behind South Park.
Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
Yeah, thank you. That was their puppet film. Was, you know, it's at least 10 years old today. And then United Artists, whoever owns that film pulled it too. And that was disgusting.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely disgusting. So in the meanwhile, the White House comes out against Sony's decision, says that, you know, it was a poor decision, criticizes the opinion. Everybody's criticizing it. Most of Hollywood's criticizing it. And then boom, today we get the news that Sony's reached a deal with Google and Microsoft to distribute the film through YouTube, Google Play, and Xbox Video.
Yeah.
So yay!
Yeah, so yay. So it's out there. Wait, Brian. There was one platform that was conspicuously missing from that list.
There was, wasn't there? Apple's iTunes.
Yeah, so you can't get this to rent or buy for your Apple TV, your iPad, your Mac.
I am checking right now just to see if there's been an update in the last few minutes from Apple PR. No, no press release on this particular film from Apple PR. I'm checking iTunes. Do you still have iTunes open?
Oh, let me do. No, I don't.
Since I'm likely to crash to the desktop.
Well, how about if I look in iTunes real quick? Because I'm less likely to have a crash happen.
I do not see. I've been crashing to the desktop a lot with Yosemite. Whenever I do a search from the Safari search bar slash URL bar field, crashing right to the desktop. Really annoying.
Totally awesome. No, it's still not there.
Yeah, all right. So Apple, nowhere to be seen. Apple, and here's the deal. You wrote this up. According to the New York Times, Sony approached Apple and to work out an exclusive deal.
Yeah. I mean, talk about an awesome thing. The door opening for same-day streaming for theatrical features, and it happens on iTunes. That would have been a huge thing. But instead, it looks like Apple decided they didn't want to swing a deal. The speculation is that Sony wanted to push something through faster than Apple was comfortable with, for whatever reason.
Yeah, apparently Microsoft and YouTube and Google,
they had no problem with this.
No problem whatsoever. This is such a huge fail on Apple's part. I don't know why this deal didn't happen. All we have is speculation at this point, right? We have supposedly Sony approached Apple for an exclusive. That's probably true. And supposedly Apple said no. And it might have been because Apple was unable or unwilling to make it happen fast enough, supposedly.
Yeah, that's what the speculation is.
Right, and we don't actually know. But from that vantage point, it is a massive fail on Apple's part. I am so angry at Apple for, A, not stepping up to the plate and making sure that this film could be seen just out of principle. But at the same time, Apple has really shafted itself, because Apple is pushing what could end up being tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of people to check out YouTube video rentals.
Yeah, and which most people didn't even know existed.
Correct. And now a lot of people know that it existed, because this is getting coverage far and wide. Everybody, I mean, you know, it's funny. North Korea's ham-fisted, childish, brute force, thuggish way of trying to control the situation could only have resulted in this being the most watched movie of all time.
Yeah, and there is some delicious irony in that.
Yeah, but again, you know, they don't get that.
No, they don't. And Apple looks like a follower, because they don't have the movie.
Well, if they bring it out.
Yeah, okay. So if they bring it out, they will look like the follower. Right now, they look like the company that is fulfilling the frustrations that many people have aired for a long time, which is, oh, I can't get new movies on the iTunes store, which in many cases is not actually true. It's just when the iTunes store initially opened for movies, there was a limited selection. But you can get a lot of stuff there. But that doesn't matter if people have the perception that they can't.
Yeah, and people can't get this particular film. And there's going to be a lot of people who are getting this particular film. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to play YouTube / Google Play, or they're going to pay Microsoft through Xbox Video. Google's going to be the big beneficiary out of this. It's funny. Philip Elmore DeWitt, a friend of the show, posted a column that essentially asked Wither Apple. He's been doing updates since then. He was able to watch the film on the YouTube app on his Apple TV.
Oh, but, Apple.
But, you know, but you can't get it through iTunes.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't understand. There's certainly a chance that there is a real reason Apple couldn't be part of this. But to me, it just seems like someone dropped the ball. It was a terrible mistake. Terrible mistake.
I agree. This looks really bad for Apple. And it is not going to do anything to promote the notion that the iTunes Store is the place to go for a great content selection.
Nope. And it's going to expose many, many people to competing services. Many people.
True. And we actually showed that in action this morning on TMO Daily Observations. Dave Hamilton went to Google Play and bought the movie and downloaded it and figured out how he could watch it through his Apple TV while we were on the show.
Yeah. To wit. To wit. This drives me nuts. I'm a little fired up about this. I'm super disappointed. As a matter of principle, I believe I would not have bothered to see this film. I like Seth Rogen. I actually like Seth Rogen just fine. James Franco, I like him just fine too. But, you know, the premise is so absurd that I probably would not have watched it unless I caught it on cable 2 years from now.
Yeah, and my plan was if there was a day where it was like a discount movie day and I had free time, I might go see it in the theater. Otherwise, I was going to wait for it to come out, ironically, on the iTunes Store. And then I figured I would probably just rent it and stream it that way.
But as soon as this GOP group, and again, we're referring to this hacker group with the initials GOP, not the government of the people, the Republican Party. As soon as they tried to get this film taken away, I'm going to see the film.
Oh, yeah.
And I would like to have done that through Apple.
Yeah, that would have been my preference, too. If it had been available through the iTunes Store, I would have already bought it.
Yeah. Yeah, likewise, actually. Likewise, just out of principle.
Yeah.
I'm not really concerned about, you know, Sony getting their money or even Seth Rogen and James Franco getting that. I don't care about any of that. They're filthy rich and I'm not. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't like it. Should have been on iTunes.
Yep.
Especially, you know, supposedly, which one is it?
Supposedly.
Thank you. Supposedly. All right. Now no one will know. Supposedly, Sony asked the White House to assist in getting Apple on board.
That's just crazy, right there.
We don't know if what the White House said. We don't know if the White House reached out to Apple, but we do know that this movie is not on iTunes.
I think we know what Seth Rogen and James Franco's next movie is going to be, and it will be the outlandish story about how someone made a movie that North Korea got banned, and then how it came back through the internet, and how the studio went to the president of the United States to try and get help. I know it's a crazy out there story, but they might be able to find a way to pull it together.
They might. Now, all right, this is a short show. So let's move on to our next topic.
Right. And I don't remember what our next topic was.
Well, the next topic was going to be Rockstar and the mobile patent wars.
Now I remember. Yeah, so you did a story about Rockstar, which is the consortium of companies that came together to make a patent-holding entity, which is also in many cases referred to as a patent troll. But anyhow, so Rockstar is a consortium of companies that bought up the Nortel patents. And
when we say consortium, we mean Apple, Microsoft, BlackBerry, Ericsson, and Sony. Just for those keeping score at home.
Right. And so they bought up all the Nortel patents when Nortel went belly up. And then were using those themselves for their mobile devices and successfully sued Google for patent infringement over these patents.
Google and Cisco and Huawei and HTC, I think.
And now these patents are all getting sold off, or at least a big chunk of them.
Yeah, it's unclear as to whether or not it's all of their. Okay, so there were 6,000. Nortel had 18,000 patents. 6,000 of them were kind of grouped together in this telecommunications package. And those went to Rockstar for $4.5 billion. This was after Google bid. I think Google's highest bid might have been Pi billion.
Oh, right. That's right. I forgot they were using
various mathematical notable mathematical numbers.
Yes.
For their bids, LOL. But Rockstar ended up winning $4.5 billion, 6,000 patents. They parted 2,000 of them up to the member companies, and one can presume. My assumption is that those were the most valuable patents.
That seems reasonable.
But some of them were left in the ownership of Rockstar, which was tasked with licensing them. And earning money from them.
Mm-hmm.
And no one was willing to play ball at first, so Rockstar ended up suing and winning.
Right.
And ended up inking some royalty deals. And that's kind of where we were until this November when, and you wrote this up, you and I have both been covering this story now for like 2 years, a year and a half or 2 years. In November, you wrote up a piece about how Google and Rockstar had settled.
Yes, and I found that to be absolutely fascinating because that, to me, felt like a concession in this whole patent war.
Yeah, it did, and a lot of people were asking at the time if the mobile patent wars were cooling off. And I think that we can, you know, they might not be dead yet because there's certainly still outstanding, there are ongoing cases between Apple and Samsung, but Apple hasn't filed a new case now in what, year and a half?
Yeah, it's actually been a while. Apple and Samsung have their agreement where they dropped cases, and it looks like for now they aren't going to bring new cases against each other.
Right. Right. And so here we have Rockstar still holding on to these 4,000 plus patents, and they sold either all of them or most of them to RPX. And RPX is another kind of non-practicing entity or patent troll, except they're not a patent troll. They actually license, they basically manage patents for that are covered by FRAND agreements. That's mostly what they do. Fair, reasonable, and non-discriminatory. That's what we mean by FRAND. So, in other words, these are patents that get licensed for a very small amount of money because they're all usually
FRAND. Critical for whatever that market is.
Yeah, well, at least when they're standards essential patents, SEPs.
Yes, yes.
These patents are not SEPs. But this is essentially what RPX does. They license it on a reasonable basis. They apparently already have either plans or agreements in place to license these patents out to 30 different groups of companies in the telecommunications markets. And it really kind of seems like patent wars are
winding
beyond,
down.
Yeah, winding down. Beyond cooling off, they're winding down.
Yeah, that's the big takeaway out of the Rockstar patent sale for me, which is if they're offloading the patents, then the value that they have for the consortium companies is not there anymore. And if that value isn't there anymore, then that tells me that there probably isn't a need to be using those to defend other intellectual properties. Translation.
Yeah.
No need for a patent war anymore.
Right. Right. That's absolutely the case. But I mean, so Rockstar got $900 million for these patents. And if all things are equal, which all things are not equal, 4,000 patents is roughly 66% of the total number of patents. But 900 million is only 20% of the 4.5 billion that was initially paid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, do you remember how Do you remember how Google bought Motorola?
Oh, yeah, good times. Bless their little hearts.
And sold Motorola for not very much money.
Yeah, sold it off to Lenovo. Yeah.
You know, so at first blush, it might seem like Rockstar and therefore its member companies are losing a bunch of money on this deal. But keep in mind that, A, there were already hundreds of millions of dollars in royalties that were already earned. But in addition to that, there was these 2,000 patents that, again, are probably the most valuable of the patents that are still in the possession of the member companies.
Right. And just because they've sold off all this other stuff and haven't made back the $4 billion that they paid, it doesn't mean that this is a loss.
Doesn't necessarily mean.
Yes, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a loss, Mr. Mostly Pedantic.
Well, I mean, this is important what am I trying to say?
And you're right. It is really important. And that was simply a great opportunity for me to throw a pedantic line at you.
Fair enough. Totally fair enough. It is possible that Rockstar, i.e. the member companies, overpaid for these patents. That is entirely possible. But it's not necessarily the case.
Right. Yeah, contrast that with Google, where it's pretty clear they overpaid for what they got.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely, for sure. But the other thing is that it is also possible that Rockstar owning all these patents is what helped bring allowed the mobile patent wars to cool off.
Yes, and that would make the money paid a really nice long-term investment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the money that you save by not going to court is substantial.
Well, the question, though, is what about Microsoft, BlackBerry, Sony, and Ericsson? All right, Microsoft's got plenty of money. BlackBerry has been struggling. Sony has been struggling, and Ericsson has been struggling. So to them, this may be more than just an exercise in semantics. You know,
this may be serious money for them.
Yeah, but of course we don't know exactly how much money each of those companies ponied up. It's reasonable to assume that Apple was the biggest player and that Microsoft was the second biggest player, and that the other guys were along for the ride.
That, I think that's a pretty safe bet.
They were Andrew to George Michael. And
well played. Well played indeed.
Apple and Microsoft being George Michael. Anyway, whatever. It's a terrible, terrible analogy.
Yeah, it's like but
idiotic.
It's Christmas, so I'm going to let you slide.
Oh, yay. I get a Christmas charity. Yay.
Yeah. Christmas charity.
Pity. Anyway, so it's interesting. It seems like this stuff is winding down. And you know, you and I have certainly spoken and written a lot about how awful it was that Google and Samsung and everybody else was copying Apple.
Yes, we have.
In the long run. And now, the reality is that Android got off the ground only because of the various Apple inventions that were copied.
Sure.
Samsung got its smartphone business off the ground only because it made its devices look like Apple devices, and it came up with its own interface that looked like Apple's interface. Sort of. It wasn't an exact copy, but it was certainly intentionally iPhone-like. Yes. We have Samsung's own internal documentation that showed this. This is part of why Samsung lost the big case against Apple.
Right.
But in the long run, Samsung is losing. Xiaomi is eating their lunch in China. Xiaomi is now the third biggest phone maker and is gunning after Samsung. Apple has lost a lot of share, although Apple executives are supposedly tense about the way share is calibrated, but whatever. But Apple is making all the money in this market, and Apple is selling more and more iPhones every year. So it looks like cheaters don't win. Although, you know, but Google did win. Google has got what it wants. It's got mobile data for hundreds and hundreds of millions of people around the world. Billions of people, maybe.
That's true.
More than a billion.
Google wins regardless.
Yeah, but this is why I've always said that. Both that Google and Apple weren't even fighting the same battle.
No, they just happened to be on the same field at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Apple can win and Google can win, and that's generally speaking what has happened.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's Samsung that will have to find a new game to play, because if they aren't going to be able to compete against these other up and coming phone makers, then they make so many things. They just move on to the next thing and they're fine.
Right. But here's the irony about Xiaomi. Xiaomi sells phones right above cost. And they do some of their own, they're building off Android, but they do some of their own services. And their phones they sell, they're pretty much not making any real money on their phones, but the company itself is profitable in part because of these other services. Mm-hmm. One reason why Xiaomi phones are so cheap is because Xiaomi doesn't have any intellectual property. By which I mean that Xiaomi doesn't have a big R&D department. They're just basically the same kind of thieving bastards that Samsung has been, except for with even less backing what they're doing.
And there's a little bit of irony in there, too.
Yeah, and they're running into problems. They got kicked out of India because their phones were violating several, not software-related patents, but patents related to the hardware side, about like how you connect to the network and stuff like that. So they got kicked out of India.
Whoops.
And they're going to be running into problems here. So in other words, they're really cheap. You know, Xiaomi phones are so cheap. Well, they're so cheap for a reason, because they're not paying anybody any money for all the things that other people have developed. They're not paying for standards essential patents even. And so they're right. So that's how they beat Samsung in China. Of course, in China, Western intellectual property is not protected much.
Clearly.
At all. A little more so all the time, but by and large not. And but it's going to be real hard for Xiaomi to enter into markets here. And if they do, they're either going to get sued into oblivion, or they're going to have to pony up and pay for some of these licensing fees, which are going to jack up the price of their phones, making them slightly less competitive.
Yep.
And maybe even... maybe more than slightly, maybe just making them less competitive.
Well, yeah, if they have to start ponying up a lot of money for licensing fees, that's going to have a serious impact on the overall cost of their phones.
Absolutely.
So that may be what brings them in line with phones from their competitors.
Price-wise. Yeah, not Apple. Not Apple. They're never going to be as expensive as Apple.
Right.
But no one is as expensive as Apple. No one can command as much for their phones as Apple.
That's true. Yeah. Not without, like, diamond encrusting them.
Yeah. And as for Samsung, Samsung used its Apple copying to get off the ground, for sure. But the only real reason Samsung became a real thing was because they had a one-trick pony, which was a larger screen. When Apple wasn't doing a larger screen.
And they lost that advantage.
Yeah, Apple is now doing a larger screen. And I do not believe that Samsung is capable of coming up with another thing that they do that Apple doesn't do.
No.
Or that Apple is slow to do.
Well, they tried to show that they could out Apple by releasing the Galaxy Gear smartwatch.
LOL.
Yeah, and what that showed is that they need to be a follower in certain markets.
Yeah, because Samsung doesn't innovate. Samsung has this long history of ripping off intellectual property of its competitors, getting sued, losing, and eventually settling, usually after they have trounced that same competition into market by better logistics and better manufacturing capabilities.
Yeah. And so here we are now with what looks to me to be our new patent normal thing, which is the patent wars are ending.
Yeah. It does seem so. All right. Well, so listen, Merry Christmas to you, man. You got to get over the mountains. This is serious stuff.
That's true. It's about time for me to put on my hiking boots. And I'll be driving, not hiking. And
I'm also having a coughing fit, so it's a good time to go.
Yeah, probably about time to wrap up. Also, if you stop licking cats so much, you don't get those hairballs, you don't cough as much.
It's true. You know, funny enough, though, this is the one kind of thing I actually do edit out. So no one would have known that I had a coughing fit had I not said so.
Yeah, and you blew it, Brian. Now people know how the sausage is made.
It's true. So, happy day after Festivus.
That's right. Happy post-Festivus to you, too.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and happy end of Hanukkah. And I'm sorry, I don't know when Kwanzaa hits. So, hey, happy Kwanzaa.
And indeed, and all the rest of the holidays, too. Winter solstice, blah, blah, blah.
Yada, yada. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Oh, good gracious. Instagram, GeekTales, you, Jay Gamet.
That's content. The best plug ever.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.